See, you can see the mountains in the background. Interestingly enough, that mound is, that's where the ruins of the city are. No one's ever excavated in Colossae. I think it just in the next couple of years, Fordham University is going to do some architecture there. And you can bring that fact up at, you know, a next party and sound like you really know about archaeology and first century Christianity. Amen. So they're about to start work on that, digging that up. And you can see the mountains and the snow in the background. That's that nice cold water coming into Colossae. This is the hot springs. That is not snow. That's mineral deposits. And you can still go to Hierapolis and go to the hot springs. I like this picture here. It looks like Arctic Explorer, but actually it's just tourist at Colossae at the hot springs. You see that? And that's the mineral deposits in the water. There's the aqueduct that flowed down to Laodicea carrying the water. And there's the pipes that were calcified. I don't know if y'all have water, if y'all need water softeners here. In San Antonio, we have water softeners. A lot of people do. Otherwise, your pipes will calcify like the Laodicean pipes. Okay? So those pipes are still there, and you can still go and see them. All right. That's it for the pictures. Let's read the verse, because I think the pictures help us to bring the verse to light as they would have read it back then. It says in verse 14, to the angel, are we all there? Revelation 3, verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, I'm going to start here with this key verse, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Let's start with the Falcons. Y'all love your football team, right? Okay. I mean, on Monday night, all they talked about was Manning leading up to it. He threw three interceptions. And then your guy is Ryan. What's his first name? Matt Ryan. Okay, he's an awesome quarterback, right? Not everybody's hot. Okay. How many are Falcons fans? Okay, all right. Listen, if you're not, that's okay. I'm not either. You're welcome here. There's a lot of grace. Okay, there's a lot of grace here, all right? We don't even have a football team in San Antonio. But when you're hot, you know the players, you know the schedule, you know the stats, you know Matt Ryan's first name. You probably know what kind of shirts he wears or stuff like that maybe, I don't know. You know their draft choices, and maybe you do a fantasy league, and you know when the next home game is and what time it starts, and you've got a T-shirt or stuff. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, I don't think it's a secret here that Richard is a Gator fan. And he's got Gators stuff all over the house, okay? I'm sure there's a lot of Georgia fans. All right? Amen. You know, I'm a Texan fan, all right? I love the Longhorns. I didn't go there, but a lot of my money did because my kid graduated. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So my heart is there with the Longhorns. I help pay for the stadium that I've never sat in. But when you're hot and you know it, okay? You're fired up. That's my team. When you're lukewarm, you're not so hot. It's like, well, you know, I follow them at the playoffs. Or, you know, I know maybe only the quarterback's name. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm not a Falcon fan. I don't know anyone else on the team. I can't name anyone else on the team. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but that's the way it is. Now, Getting toward the playoffs then, some of you lukewarm folks, you'll be tuning in with the Falcons. And I think they'll be there. I think they'll be there. Oh, some are shaking their heads. All right. I think they'll be there, but anyway. So you know, and then when you're lukewarm, you know maybe a few things. When everybody's there at the party, you get fired up. You see what I'm saying? But we know what hot is. We know what lukewarm is. And that's what this passage is about. Now, I want to say something about cold. And I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. And I'm going to tell you that I've changed my mind. I used to think that we knew what it meant to be hot for Jesus and what it meant to be lukewarm about Jesus. And cold meant, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And I've sort of changed my mind on that. But that doesn't mean you necessarily have to, but I'll tell you what I think. The good water is cold and it's hot. Hot water's good and the cold water was good. The lukewarm was the bad water. And Jesus said, I wish you were either one or the other, right? All right? Either hot or cold. I don't think personally, I don't think Jesus, I wish you were just cold. To me, that doesn't sound like God, because God desires all men to be saved. I don't think God desires anyone to be cold. I don't think he wants that. I think in a family, we never wish that I wish my kid would just get out. No, that's not what we wish for. And I know how Jesus was sad when people who were with him or were lukewarm left him. We know how the prodigal son's father acted. We saw his love. So we all know that being cold toward Jesus is bad. Okay? I know we all know that. I just don't think that this passage is talking about, I wish you'd either just get out and be cold toward. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's saying, I wish you'd be hot or cold, because both of those are good waters. I wish you'd be one or the other. But this lukewarm, and that's the point of the passage, just do not be lukewarm, because lukewarm is bad. What's he saying? It's time to fish or cut bait, right? Don't be lukewarm. The hot water is good for cooking and bathing and sterilizing. It's awesome. Cold water is so refreshing. Jesus talked about a cup of cold water even will not be forgotten. A cup of cold, but the lukewarm, he wants to spit them out. And that's the point of the passage, okay? He wants to spit out the lukewarm. Laodicea understood disgusting lukewarm water. They understood that immediately. All right? And Jesus' words to them are powerful and they're relevant. What do you want to spit out? For me, when I was a kid at elementary school, they had those milk cartons. And back in the day, they were like 4 cents. And you get a milk carton, but every once in a while, you'd get one that was curdled. And you'd drink it, and you'd have it, and you'd pour it in your mouth. They'd be like, oh, you want to spit it out. Remember that? Remember that experience? And, I mean, that's something you want to spit out. I know we lived in Africa for many years. And man, Abidjan, for instance, a city I lived in the Ivory Coast. And the water is good in Abidjan about 362 days a year. Only 3 days is it bad. The problem is they don't tell you when those 3 days are. Then all of a sudden half the city is coming down with a stomach bug. You see what I'm saying? So you get afraid of the water. You know what I'm saying? You get afraid of it. But I tell you, there's stuff you want to spit out, like when you're singing or talking and a bug flies in your mouth. You want to spit that out, right? That's a strong image, but that's how Jesus feels about being lukewarm. That's how he feels. So what's a hot Christian? We're going to ask this text a few questions, and that'll be the sermon. Number one, what's a hot Christian? Well, I think we're catching on here. A hot Christian is someone that reads their Bible. They're praying. They love Jesus. It's an action thing. It's also a heart thing. He's eager to share his faith, to talk about this Jesus that he loves. He's eager to help the poor and to be at services here. This isn't a pain to come to church. He's excited to come. And he doesn't just, you know, we talked about the playoffs. Man, he's excited to come. He understands the importance of it. To be here, to encourage, to fellowship, to give. Y'all follow what I'm talking about. That's action. But then there's the heart. The heart of passion for Jesus. Love for God. Concern for his people. Just that kind of a heart. We're like activists for the Lord. We should be hot about Jesus Christ. We're like soldiers that believe in what they're doing and are fighting for the cause of Christ. That's what it means to be hot as a Christian. What's a lukewarm Christian? Comfortable. Convenient. Compromising. Lukewarm means in the middle. We stayed at Richard's house last night. He's very kind to put us up. Very hospitable. Got in the shower, cold and hot. But we put it somewhere in the middle. Because I really didn't want to be hot in terms of Richard's hot water. You follow what I'm saying? Lukewarm is comfortable. It's convenient. In our action life, then, it comes out as we read when we want to. Don't think that the lukewarm person never reads his Bible. Oh, no, but he reads when he wants to. The lukewarm person, it's not like, oh, she never prays. No, she prays when she wants to. Or shares her faith on a rare occasion when it's convenient or easy for me, when I feel like. You see, Jesus is Lord. And the truth is, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And he calls us to follow him. And there's no apologies here. He's our Lord. He's our Maker. He's our Redeemer. And we can't just have him as Savior, but not as Lord. A lot of times people want him as Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. He's my Savior. I don't want him as my Lord. Thank you. You can't have one without the other. He is our Savior and our Lord. He's got to be Lord in our life. That's lukewarm Christian. He's got issues with that. So with the heart, there's not so much passion. Maybe agreement, but not passion. Maybe some love, but not much. And lukewarm Christianity, as we all know, it is common, it is popular, and it is dead wrong. It is dead wrong. And that's why Jesus wrote this letter to the Laodiceans. Well, why would he, question number three, why would he spit them out? I mean, come on, what about grace? Hey, at least they're lukewarm. Don't they get some credit for that? Well, no. That's not the call. They were given time. There's a lot of grace. They were given teaching. They were given chances. But what does this verse say? This verse says eventually, if you're lukewarm, then there will be a knock on the door. He says, I'm knocking on the door here. And he says, eventually that's what's going to happen. Because there will be a call to follow Jesus or not. Make sense? You know, it's like in a romance. Eventually, if it's half-hearted, the person in the romance says, look, I mean, do you love me or not here? Okay? Because we don't want to endure a half-hearted romance. And in the same way with God, he says, okay, what's it going to be here? And sometimes we have to have those talks where we say, hey, let's get honest. Let's be real here. This is where we're at, right? You know, well, why would he spit them out? Because it's so callous. Christ died. People are going to hell. Sin is ruining lives every day. How can we be lukewarm? How can we sit on the fence while people go to hell? That's what's so wrong about lukewarm. And of course, the world notices lukewarmness, don't they? What is the most common complaint people make about going to church? Why don't you go to church? Well, I don't like the hypocrites. You know, people say that in Texas. I don't like the hypocrites. All right, I'm going to tell you what I think about that. First of all, I think we don't really believe that. That's just a good excuse. Because people say, oh, I don't like the hypocrites. Yeah, well, you go to the gym. There's hypocrites at the gym. They're like, they're just there socializing. You go to the movies, there's hypocrites there. They don't really love Tom Cruise. They're just there. Their friends dragged them there. You go to a Falcons game, there's hypocrites there. I'm just here. I just snuck in here or whatever. I got a ticket. You know, whatever, I'm here with this person, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we go everywhere we go, there's hypocrites. Don't give me that stuff. That's not why people, you know why a lot of times we don't go to church? Because we don't have the guts to follow Jesus and to live for him. Okay, it's not the hypocrisy issue, but that's why he says, look, I'm going to spit you out because this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. And we're not used to that sometimes. Now, I'm going to admit, 20 years ago, maybe, I was cut and dried. Lukewarm, shape up or ship out. That's kind of my attitude at times. And I had very little grace in my heart for lukewarm types. And I loved this passage and was unafraid to use it all the time. But then I've struggled. I've had my hard times, just like you have. I've suffered. I've been a disciple for 31 years. I was baptized in 1981, April 17th. And I've had my days where I was tired, overwhelmed, or discouraged, and I bet that you have. And so today I very much appreciate God's grace. And I appreciate His love, and I appreciate His patience. And man, I'm going to need that grace to go to heaven just like you are. We all are going to need it, okay? And the truth of the matter is that today I do not want one single person to quit or turn away or give up or be overwhelmed by this very stern or tough challenge from Jesus to be hot, not lukewarm. I wish you were one or the other. Be cold water or hot water, but don't be lukewarm water. Because I want everybody in here to enjoy God's grace, to enjoy their faith, to feel the embrace of His forgiveness. But the truth is, there comes a time where, hey buddy, you going to fish or cut bait? Okay? But just comfortably showing up when you want, reading when you want, being what you want. There's a time where Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door. Hello. There's got to be some changes here. So sure, it scares me to say it, but it scares me not to say it. Because it's in the Bible. So if you're lukewarm, He's going to be at the door. So you got to heed these words. Question number four, why would anybody be lukewarm? Man, if it's so terrible, if it's preached about, why? If it's written about so clearly, why would anybody want to be lukewarm? Because it's comfortable. It's so comfortable. You know, we love church and the people and the atmosphere. And you know, the truth is, by going to church sometimes, you can cheat a cold world. It's easy to go to church and then you can have some of the blessings of it, but not really make Jesus Lord. And you can enjoy the illusion of Christianity without the cost. And some of us today, that's maybe what we're doing. Maybe we attend with a spouse. Maybe we attend with relatives and they're disciples and you're not. And you're sure glad your daughter is in this church because you know she's not out drinking and whata every weekend like the rest of the world. But you yourself don't have the guts to do it yourself. See, you're comfortable just being lukewarm. But then you're enjoying all the benefits of people you love, making sure they're safe. Come on. Don't try to enjoy the illusion of Christianity without paying the cost. Why would anybody be lukewarm? Because it's wide open to cowards. Cowards can... is it lukewarmity and cowardness? They go together. I'm kind of afraid to maybe share my faith. I'm maybe afraid to identify myself as a believer where I work. I'm sort of afraid of that. Well, then welcome to lukewarmness. See, that's very comfortable. Because you don't have to do anything you don't feel good about, you know, that... You see what I'm saying? It also fits right in with our laziness. Ah, lukewarmness. Let me be Lord for a while. See, I'll be Lord for a while. We're going to do things when I feel like doing it, not when Jesus feels like doing it. I'll be Lord for a while. You see, that's how the lukewarmness goes. That's kind of nice being Lord for a while here. That's why we'd be that way, isn't it? But I'm sure no one in here has ever been lukewarm. This is just me, right? Number five, well, how'd I get this way? How'd I get this way? You know, I think there's several ways to getting to lukewarmness, okay? How does your coffee become lukewarm? Or how did your milk get lukewarm? It's you left it out, okay? Like the coffee is hot, but if you leave it sitting there, it becomes lukewarm. Your milk was cold, but if you leave it sitting there, it becomes lukewarm. You know, that's a big deal in my house. Put the milk away. Put the milk away. My brother Roy, sometimes he even jokes on the phone when he calls me, hey, have you put the milk away? It's like, man, alive. I mean, you know, but that's the way brothers are, right? Okay, because we know that when we disconnect something from the power source, it tends to drift toward lukewarmness. And in the same way, some of us in here, if you're feeling like, wow, Mike's talking to me today If this passage is hitting home, if you're lukewarm, probably you disconnected yourself from the power source. You're not having vibrant Bible study. You're not connected to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not connected to real fellowship. I know, maybe some howdy doody, how are you, love the Falcons and see you Wednesday kind of fellowship. But I mean real one another fellowship. You've disconnected yourself. You're not really in touch with the Word of God, and you tend to drift toward lukewarmness. Okay? That's how you got there. So you got to reconnect. Read and pray and fellowship. You also become lukewarm by little decisions. I mean, I believe there have been times in my 31 years where I've heard a knock at the door. I had to repent. I believe you become lukewarm by little decisions. If you tell me I didn't have a quiet time yesterday, well, you know, there is... I can't think of a scripture that says, thou shalt have a quiet time every day. Okay, one day, we know we need to love God's Word and read His Word and amen, and I know, and you know all those scriptures. One day, is that going to kill you? Well, no. But there's some of us in here, you haven't had a good quiet time in 2 weeks. Or you haven't sat down and opened your Bible in a month. Duh. How do you think you get to be lukewarm? You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure that out. You start making little decisions like, I'm not going to have meaningful Bible study. Well, of course there's going to be consequences to that. Of course there are. Little decisions. So you got to be consistent. You got to do the basics. And you got to be careful, because anybody is a candidate. Just because you're old doesn't mean, oh, I've been around now for 10 years. I've been around now for 20 years. Man, Saul, David, Solomon, some of the most famous, well-known characters in the Bible, they got worse as they got older. Are you older in the Lord? Be careful, you too are a candidate for being lukewarm. So you don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, I'm an older guy, so you can't be talking to me. No, no. I mean, look at some of these characters in the Bible. As they got older, they got lukewarm. You become lukewarm by little decisions. And maybe you never know the day that you turn lukewarm. Maybe only God knows that. That's sort of like the guy saying, hey, which French fry made me fat? We don't really know. It just sort of happens. I don't know when the needle tipped over. I mean, I suppose there's a medical point where you know, whatever. We don't really know, but it just happened. But you've just made a bunch of little decisions. And somewhere along the line, you see what happens. And that's sort of the way lukewarmness is. You become lukewarm when you let defeats and discouragements build up, right? You know, this is a wonderful church. It's a perfect church if you've been in it for like 4 days. But if you hang around, we'll make mistakes. I may have offended you already, and I'm just a visiting preacher. But we will make mistakes. We sin against each other. We're a church full of sinners. And if you live for Christ very long, you'll suffer defeats like Jesus did. You'll have answers to prayer be no, like Paul. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord. No, no, no. I mean, even Paul, if God can say no to Paul's prayers, He can say no to your prayers and mine, and we can be happy about that. We can be okay with that. But sometimes we let the defeats and the discouragements build up. Sometimes we let little relational things build up. It's amazing to me, being around, you know, for 31 years, you know, you kind of watch. We've got a lot of people in here that have been around for a long time. But a lot of times, isn't it funny how it's the relational things that sometimes tip the scale? It's like, well, why are you sitting over there? Well, because they sit over there. Well, why don't you work it out? Well, you know, I just don't think it can be worked out. Oh, well, excuse us. But Jesus said... The Lord said, go work it out before the sun goes down. But we don't want to work out our relational issues sometimes because that's uncomfortable. And lukewarm is about being comfortable. And so I'll work it out at some point. So I've got this attitude and I'll just hold on to it until whatever. And Jesus says, I want you working this stuff out today. It is dangerous. Work it out. If you're here and you got an attitude, the Lord says, go work it out. Go talk to the person. Not during the sermon, but later. Afterwards, set it up for today. Talk with them and say, hey, just Well, what do I say? Well, just say, listen, you know what? Can we talk? I got to be honest. I got something on my heart. It's been bothering me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you were wrong, but there's something between us here. Can we just talk about it? And if you can't talk it out, then grab one of the elders. That's why you have elders in the congregation. Let them sit down. Everybody be humble and listen and love one another. And you'll work these things out. We can work these things out. But if you don't work this stuff out, it grows, it festers, and it takes you out the door. And that's just the way it is. And that's lukewarmness is, well, I'll just sit here and listen to the music, and I just won't work out my attitudes. You've got to work it out. You've got to work it out. You've got to deal with it, right? We also become lukewarm when we become infatuated with the world. He says here, you say I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. They sound enticed by the world. They were a wealthy city. You know, after they had an earthquake in Laodicea, Caesar offered help and they turned it down. They turned it down. They were a wealthy city. They had a lot of banks. They had money. They were famous for their black cloth, that black wool they made there. They also were famous for that, an eye salve, an ophthalmic, whatever the word is, salve that they would put on your eyes. They were famous for that in Laodicea. And Jesus, he sort of mocks them a little bit. He says, you say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Is there a more stinging rebuke from Jesus in the Scriptures, except perhaps, get thee behind me, Satan, when he said it to Peter? I mean, this is a stinging rebuke. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, he's not just hitting them. He's hitting them on the sensitive spots. Because he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. He was talking to a wealthy group of people, and he says, you need real gold. He says, white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. He was talking to people that worked in the clothing linen industry. He says, you need real clothes because you guys are naked. And then he says, salve to put on your eyes so you can see. He was talking to people that sold that. You see what I'm saying? And I know all of us, we have to keep our hearts right. Because we are some of the wealthiest Christians to ever be Christians in the history of the earth. And we are living in a bustling, booming Atlanta or San Antonio. And yeah, times are tough. What does that mean, times are tough? I know some people have suffered. But look, when you're talking about Liberia in Africa, where 80% of the nation lives on less than a dollar a day, when you look at people throughout the centuries, if I had to pick a place in the history of the world, Atlanta in 2012 ain't so bad. And some people I know are really hurting, and I don't minimize that at all. And I got hurts in my life too. But come on, these riches that our fellow Atlantans and San Antonians are chasing after, that's not real gold. Those aren't. We can have the newest, most fashionable outfit. That's not real clothing. That's not gonna solve our problems. And when we have all the money and all the linen and all the health put together, that will not fulfill us. Jesus is the answer. And that's a part of lukewarmness. You see what I'm saying? That's a part of what we become lukewarm when we become enticed by the world. I saw this documentary about a sushi chef in Tokyo. Did anybody see that, Sushi Dreams? Did anybody watch that movie? Wow, amen. The reason I found it was because my son, he was a film major, and now he works in the TV industry stuff. He's not a high up guy. He's like go for coffee and, you know, fetch lunch. But he does do. He's rising up, and it's kind of interesting. So, you know, we watch sometimes with him. I'll watch these little movies. And so this was an award winning documentary about a sushi chef in Tokyo, and he's maybe the most famous sushi chef. And I'm watching it, and I know I'm supposed to admire the guy. And there was a whole lot that I admired about him. He worked hard. He built his reputation. He his little restaurant there in Tokyo. It's only 10 seats, only 10 chairs, and it's famous. And people make reservations a year in advance and pay like $300 for 20 pieces of sushi. And I'm not a big sushi fan. I'm lukewarm towards sushi, all right? But there were moments in the movie I just went, wow, when he shared that, you know, I worked hard to get where I am. And he said, I'd be up at 5 a.m. and I would come home at 10 p.m. And when my kids saw me in the house, they thought I was a stranger. And I know that I was supposed to go, wow, dude, you're so awesome, committed. But I looked at that and I said, man, I don't really want to live that way. I really don't want to live that way. And when he goes to his parents' grave, he says, I don't know why we come here. He said, they never loved me. And I said, wow, there's some deep issues going on here. Because his dad threw him out of the house at 9 years old. And there's a lot of admirable things about this chef. But there's a lot of things, wow, I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I'm thankful for different priorities than just making money and getting to the top. I'm thankful for what I've learned about being married and having a family. I'm not perfect. You're not either. But it sure is good to have Jesus guiding us and helping us along the way to keep things in perspective and to know that when I suffer, there's a higher purpose so that in the end, I'm going to be a better person. Amen to that. They don't just have that out there in the world. You know what I'm saying? And when we're lukewarm, we get lukewarm because we became infatuated with the world. So why don't we realize, question number six, why don't we realize that they're lukewarm? What do you mean? You mean they don't know it? How on earth can you be wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and not know it? But that's what he says. Number one, you never see anybody really naked. But then, how can you see someone naked and they don't know it? You're naked. Oh, really? You would think you would notice if you're wretched, or blind, or pitiful in some way, like he says. You would notice it. So now you don't even realize it. How on earth does someone walk into the Laodicean church, come on in, and not even really? Because we get away from the Word of God, and we forget. The guy who baptized me, his name was Gary Knutson. His name is Gary Knutson, and he used to work in a mining operation, and they were doing soil samples. And they'd pull the sample up, and he would hold it up to these other soil samples and compare the color of the soil and try to make analysis. After a while, you get a little cocky, and he would just start doing it by sight. But he said he'd make wrong judgments because he stopped comparing it to the soil sample guide that he had been given. And so he would think he knew something, but actually he'd forgotten the color. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And the thing is, that's why you have to stay in contact with the Word of God so that you keep your right perspective, because sometimes we drift and we forget and we lose sight. And slowly, one French fry at a time, it impacts us spiritually. And slowly, we become lukewarm and we don't realize it. Can anybody in here identify? Has it ever happened to you? This is a wake-up call from Jesus here to be one or the other, but don't be lukewarm. And that's why we don't realize it. Let me see here. What kind of friend is Jesus? That's question number seven, my last question. What kind of friend is Jesus? He says in verse 19, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. How about that? Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Wow, that's strong. The other day, I'm so happy in San Antonio we have now 13 interns that are working in the church. We just sent out the evangelist and his wife over to College Station, but now we have 13 interns, and I'm really excited. A lot of them are brand new, working in the ministry. One of them, her name is Amanda, and she works in the ministry, and she's kind of new, but she's a wonderful young lady. And so I have these sandals, but the sandals sometimes, to me, are more comfortable with socks on. Now, not those tall socks, you know what I'm saying, but I mean, I'm trying to style a little bit, and I have the short socks, the little footy type socks anyway. So I come in, I say, well, and so we were going out on this double date, me and Ambergeed and Amanda and her husband. And I said, so, Amanda, what do you think about the socks and the sandals? And she said, well, what would you like? a boss answer or a friend answer? I said, give me the friend answer. She said, no, don't wear the socks. I said, no. You know, and I thank God for the friends in my life who have shot straight with me. Okay? I appreciate Richard shoots straight with me. And I shoot straight with Richard. Okay? But we love each other. I appreciate friends like that. Here's what I'm saying. What kind of friend is Jesus? He will shoot straight. And if you've been some kind of a church hopping, lukewarm, whatever, and today's sermon has hit home with you, and you're thinking, man, you know, and there's some people in this church, they're shooting straight with me, and that's kind of weird. No, that's not weird. That's good. That's Jesus. He's talking to you, and he's telling you stuff. Jesus will go where people won't usually go. And he'll identify those whom I love, I rebuke, and discipline. It was Jesus who said to the rich young ruler, here's the one thing you lack. Peter was probably over there going, oh man, here's this rich guy. We could have been eating better, staying at nicer places. Man, here we go. And Jesus chases him off. Because Jesus is honest. He says, hey, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. That's the way Jesus is. That's the kind of friend he is. How serious is it? As you read through these letters, in Ephesus, for instance, the seven letters, in Revelation 2, chapter 2, he told the Ephesians, if you don't repent and get your first love, I will come to you. In chapter 2, verse 16, he told him in Pergamum, where you need to repent of the tolerance, otherwise I will soon come to you. In Sardis, he said, chapter 3, if you do not wake up the sleeping, he says, I will come like a thief. In Philadelphia, he says, you've got an open door. He says, I am coming soon. But in Laodicea, he said, here I am. I stand at the door. And knock. In Ephesus, Pergamum, Sardis, Philadelphia, he said, I'm going to come soon if something doesn't happen with Laodicea. They were lukewarm. He says, I'm here now. That's me, you here. Stop it. I'm standing right here. This must stop. And that's the message. This isn't something that Jesus is asking us to agree with. This isn't something that Jesus is saying, we need to nod our head and go to lunch and watch football. This is a life-changing call from Jesus. To be hot or to be cold. A cold, refreshing drink or a hot, useful whatever. But don't be lukewarm. He says, I'm here. I'm at the door. Think about it. We love you in San Antonio. God bless you for all you're doing here in Gwinnett, in Atlanta. And be praying for my brother Roy. Thank you very much.